Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to another Larry Huck Ministries podcast. We pray this teaching will fill you with God's wisdom, anointing, and revelation knowledge. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support.
Baby Lion's two-year birthday. A year and a half ago, they didn't look good, but our God is faithful God. Our God is a good God. Our God is a miracle God. Somebody ought to say amen. Can we turn the house lights on? I don't like it dark in here. Dark's okay, but let there be light. Amen. You can keep it dark for the second service. On October 27th, we're going to have the Visitor Sunday. And so I want to encourage everybody to bring somebody out. Now, by coincidence, there is no word coincidence in the Hebrew language. So by the plan of God, Rafael Cruz, Senator Cruz's father. Rafael has been calling ever since he heard about Tiz battling the battle. And I mean, just powerful prayer. He prayed with us on the phone. He sent us 101 scriptures. I mean, just a warrior. And he really feels like God wanted him to come and speak to New Beginnings. And then at the end, he wants to talk about the covenant power of God. And then at the end, I just talked to him on the phone last week. He said, Pastor Larry, I'd like to do communion with the whole church after the service. And so on the 27th, I'll be doing the 9:30 service. Senator Cruz's father, it'd be pretty neat for you to shake hands with somebody who may be the father of one of our next presidents. But he is a tremendous man of God. I don't know if you know Rafael's testimony, but he was in prison in Cuba under Castro, and he got out, and God brought him here. He's a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous man of God. So that's going to be the 27th at the 11:30 service. We're going to have communion together on the covenant power of God, and then at the end, we're going to have refreshments and things in the lobby. So it's going to be a great time. Tonight at sundown begins what? Can anybody tell me? Some said Sukkot. Some said the Feast of Tabernacles. You're all right. If you were to go into Israel right now, every home, every shop, every restaurant would have what's called a sukkah, a little hut built out, that during this time, from this Sunday to next Sunday, during this time, we celebrate what we call in English the Feast of Tabernacles. What they call in Hebrew is Sukkot. Now, what Sukkot means is it means tabernacle, it means booths, it means huts, it means, it's also the word manger. I don't want to throw anybody, but during the Feast of Tabernacles, where God says, build me a tabernacle that I may dwell in John chapter 1, the Bible says Jesus came, the Word came, and tabernacled with us. This is probably, I don't want to freak anybody out, but probably the real time in which Jesus was born, not December 25th, although we celebrated then, it's okay, Santa is real. But something, we're told to do something besides the first fruits, which is next Sunday. We're told to do something, and we're told to, we're doing it in the children's ministry, we're told to build temporary little sukkahs, little temporary huts. And we're told to during this time, many Jews will eat every meal in there. Many will put a little cot in there and sleep. By the way, the word sukkah is also the word manger. If you look in the Old Testament, when God said, build me a a sukkah, a manger for the animals. So we're taught to go in there and eat and fellowship and sleep sometimes. But in the building of the sukkah, the little hut, you're to leave part of the roof off. And there's two reasons that you leave part of the roof off. One is that you can keep your eye on the sky in case the Messiah comes. The other thing is that you're to be looking to heaven to remind yourself that this world is only temporary. That our final goal is heaven. Now, why would God say during this time, and it represents, and I know I'm telling most of you stuff you already know, but it's to represent the temporary dwelling places that the children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness until they got to the promised land. Now, why does God tell us to build this little sukkah and put a bed in there and put some dishes in there and put some chairs and tables in there and spend time in there? Why does he tell us to do that? Well, because it's uncomfortable. It's not as comfortable as being in your home and having the air conditioner or the heater going, getting into your bed with your nice pillow and the refrigerator right there and the stove. And it's to remind us that this life is temporary. It's like a vapor of smoke. And so as much as God does want you, he does want us to enjoy a beautiful home and drive beautiful cars and ladies wear beautiful jewelry and guys, us all have the best hunting rifles you can possibly have. This life is temporary. And as much as God, and that's the whole thing. The whole time of the Feast of Tabernacles is the season of joy. It's preparing for all the blessings and all the goodness and everything God's going to bring us in this life. Next year, it's going to be wonderful. But as wonderful it is, it's temporary. And we've got, and as warm as we are, or as cool as we are, and as full as we are, and as blessed we are, and as happy as we are, it's pale in comparison to when we meet him in the sky. That's going to be something that is truly amazing. Can I have an amen? Amen. And so during this time, we are to get ready for the greatest outpouring in your job, in your business, in your family, and you know, in the Huck family. I don't want to have to believe for miracles anymore. Even though we see them, I want the biggest trial, the biggest testing that I have this next year is, God, you've given me too much money. What am I going to do with it all? Amen. How many ready for that kind of trial? But no matter what, no matter how blessed this, and it's going to be an amazing year. It is. Are you ready? Yes. Say amazing. Amazing. It's going to be an amazing year. But no matter how much it is, don't get so comfortable and don't get so cozy and don't get so full that we forget we have a mission. And we have a destiny that is beyond anything no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard. And we need to bring as many people with us on this journey as we possibly can. Can I have an amen? Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Father, bless this offering. Bless our tithes. Father, use it as a way that we worship you and we give you thanks for all the amazing things you do in our lives. Father, I don't know how anybody gets through life without having God in their life. And Father, use this tithe and use this offering and use these gifts that through our good works, we can tell the world how wonderful our God is and that Jesus Christ is the name that is above every single name. And all God's people said, amen. Give the Lord a clap over you one more time. God bless you on stream. Amen.
From every mountaintop, your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me. Yeah, I sing. And I sing because you are good. And I dance because you are good. And I shout.
Pastor Wanderson, who's doing the next service, was in the back talking to me, and we were talking about the power of God and that this New Beginnings is a house of miracles. You know, and I think a lot of times people, I know for a fact that a lot of people were thrown when, the Hucks, they have such faith and do things for Israel, and we had to fight the battle for Lion, and we had to fight the battle for Tiz. And it's important to understand that having faith doesn't mean that the enemy doesn't still attack. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Amen? If you have faith, the rain ends up watering your garden. If you lose your faith, the rain washes your seed away. And Wanderson brought something up, and I know he's going to teach on this. It's just a marvelous message for the next service. But we've had several people in the last couple years been attacked with cancer, just like everybody else does. Been attacked with this demonic spirit. How many understand sickness is a spirit? It's not from God. It's not from God. Amen? But we haven't lost anybody. Every single person has made it through and become more than a conqueror. And that's the message. That's the message that we want to, is, you know, devil, you may take a shot. But greater is he that's in us than anything that can come against us. So we're going to go before the Lord. And we want to first off give thanks for Lions, you know. He's 6 months away from being over, being done. We had just, that. Who was, somebody just ended their last treatment? Stella. Stella just ended her. Michael, that was some time ago. Yeah, Michael finished his, but Stella just ended hers. This week, right? This week. And Tiz has 1 month and 6 days left, and then she's done. So it's not like, well, we really hope God will answer our prayers. Our God answers prayers. How many need God to answer your prayers today? Lift up your hands. Take your neighbor's hands all across the building. Our God, listen to me, right now, God is stopping making universes to hear your prayer. Say this out loud. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus, this next year is going to be a great year, full of joy, health, healing, miracles, blessing, prosperity in every area of my life, my family, my ministry, my business. Everything is covered by the blood of Jesus. Devil, I am more than a conqueror. I'm not going under, I'm going over. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now give the Lord a clap offering. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I want to once again apologize for being on the floor. I know it's hard on the cameras for all of our stream audience, but I pulled a muscle in my leg squatting that 800 pounds. And so I'm not quite over it yet and need to stay down here. You know, Scotty, I don't know if you can do this up in the booth, but because it just came to me as we were worshiping. And if you could find some of the pictures, or a picture, Scott, of the Pilgrim's Road that they just uncovered in Jerusalem. Because I want to start this message off as we go into the Feast of Tabernacles with an understanding of where we are in history. And this isn't in my notes. This just came to me as we were worshiping. You know, I believe in all my heart, I believe, and I might be wrong. I'll admit this, I might be wrong. The Bible says God gives us seasons so that we can understand the times. In everything God teaches us, it is physical and spiritual. Amen. Everything, you understand that? Yeah. So when we think about seasons, you know, what's happened in the last couple days? We went from 90-something degrees down to 40 or 50 degrees. So what season are we going into? Fall. It's not hard to read the sign. Now, sometimes the temperatures are late coming. Sometimes they're early coming. But we can tell what season we're in. The same thing happens spiritually. When the Bible says that God will come in a twinkling of an eye, as a thief in the night, that scripture is not for those of us who are paying attention to the signs and the wonders that God is giving. You know, I'm finishing a book, my book. I'm on the last two chapters right now. And I just did a chapter on signs and wonders. And I think a lot of the church is not even being told about paying attention to the signs. Now, tonight begins the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. I believe, now I might be wrong, I don't think I am, but I might be wrong, that Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, is symbolic of the wedding supper of the Lamb, where the Lord will come and tabernacle with us forever, or for 1,000 years, and that's a whole nother message. Passover and Jesus dying and being resurrected from the dead happened exactly on the time of Passover. Exactly when it happened. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. When it was on the 50th day, it had fully come. Pentecost, 50. Shavuot. Pentecost came on the exact day. On the exact day. So looking at what has already transpired in the Bible, I believe that the 30 days of Elul, blowing the shofar, is the wake-up time. I believe that Rosh Hashanah is the rapture. I believe Yom Kippur is the second coming. And I believe that the wedding supper of the Lamb and the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, is the same day. Now, let me say, I might be wrong. Even though Passover and resurrection were on the same time, Pentecost and Shavuot were on the same time, Jesus may come tomorrow. He may come in December. He may come in January. I'm not saying, well, just relax and don't serve God until next Rosh Hashanah. I might be wrong. He might fool us all. I don't think I am, but he might fool us all. But let's say I'm right. Let's say the rapture does take place on Rosh Hashanah. I might be wrong. Say amen. Amen. But let's say it does take place. And let's say the second coming takes place on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Let's say that the wedding supper of the Lamb is the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. If it happens that way, and I know the wicked servant says the master delays his coming, so I might be wrong. But if it happens that way, then that would mean that we have a year until the coming of the Lord. I might be wrong. He may come tomorrow. But if we read this way, then we might have another year. But during the time preceding the coming of the Lord, God will pour out his Spirit. And if I'm right, and we have a year, or a couple years, or a full few years, or whatever, then that means we are entering into a time of signs and wonders and miracles, of the gifts of prophet and prophetess. We're entering into an amazing, amazing time. Now, I want to say again, I might be wrong, but I haven't seen this great outpouring yet. I see it in a few places. I see it in Brazil. But I think when we're talking about the latter rain being greater than what we saw in the time of Jesus, can you imagine if we are looking for the coming of the Messiah, if we're realizing what times we're in, can you imagine the miracles that God wants to bring for you and through you? It'll be mind-boggling. Now, I personally believe that this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this outpouring of the power of God, will be so great that the whole world is going to be paying attention. Amen. Not just a little bit here and there, but the whole world will hear of the goodness and the power of God. Amen. Rabbi Schneerson, who many think was the greatest scholar ever, who died in the mid-90s, prophesied that in preparation for the coming of the Messiah, God will move amongst the Gentiles, that he'll open their eyes, and the Gentiles will begin to understand Shabbat. The Gentiles will begin to understand Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot. The Gentiles will begin to live according to the way the Bible says to live. And he said in this prophecy, he said, at first the Jews will see the Gentiles doing this, and they will say, what are you doing? These are ours, not yours. But he said, the miracles that will come on these Gentiles, Listen to me, when we welcome in the Sabbath, we're welcoming in the miracles of God. When we welcome in the Feast of Tabernacles tonight, we're welcoming in the miracle power of God. And listen to what he said. When God does such great miracles amongst these Gentiles, it will get attention to the Jews that aren't serving God and the Gentiles that aren't serving God, and it'll draw us all together, and together we will see the coming of the Messiah. I can't tell you how many emails and texts I've gotten in the last few days, in the last couple weeks, from Jews in all over the world, but all over Israel, saying, have a great Rosh Hashanah, have a great Yom Kippur, have a happy Feast of Tabernacles, have a happy Sukkot. These are Jews who realize you and I are in our... I got a text the other day from someone in Israel, and they said that this is Rosh Hashanah, and this is a time of opening the Book of Blessing, and this is the time of this time of that, and the pomegranate, and the 613 seeds that are in the pomegranate represent. And I said, yeah, I just taught that in my church. And he texts back and he said, I forgot I was talking to somebody smarter than me. Do you know what a rare thing it is for someone in a church to understand that this is the time of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles? Do you understand what the promises of God is? That this will be, this is what Paul talked about when he talked about there'll be a provoking to jealousy. It's not a negative thing. It's a, wait, what do you mean? The Gentiles are having Shabbat services? The Gentiles are having Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot service? And the prophecy is that the Gentiles, and it's just starting. I mean, it is the fastest growing movement in the world right now. But it is just really starting. And the Gentiles who are in this, who are seeing this, who are experiencing this, Rabbi Schneerson said, according to prophecy, the blessings will be so great.
Yes, amen.
You say, well, that's a rabbi. What did it say in Malachi? All the world will call you blessed.
That's right.
Amen? So I just want to just share something that's in my heart. If I get to my notes, I will. But I want you to understand the signs of the times. And I was writing some of these things in my Bible, and I thought, you know, things are happening so fast in the world that I think many times we forget how many things are happening in the world. You know, Josh Reinstein, the head of one of the members of the Knesset, said to Pastor Scott and I in Jerusalem when we were there last, he said, in Israel, we've seen so many miracles in the last year that we didn't think we'd see until the Messiah came. The moving of the embassy, et cetera, et cetera. And so I started thinking, they realize something unique is happening. We need to realize how unique the time that we're in. And let me just take you back a little bit. Back around, and I don't have my notes in here. Back in the 1300s, I believe, Rabbi Samuel ben Judah ben Samuel, made a prophecy, and he said there'll come a time that the Ottoman will rule Israel for 8 jubilees. Rabbi Judah ben Samuel, that the Ottomans will rule Israel for 8 jubilees. 8 jubilees is 400 years. When Rabbi Judah ben Samuel gave that prophecy, there wasn't even an Ottoman group. They were called the Osmans, not Donnie and Marie. They were a little tribe that over the next couple hundred years became the greatest power in the world and became the Ottoman Empire. And in 1517, They invaded the Middle East. They took over Israel, Jerusalem, and they literally ruled Jerusalem and Israel for 400 years. Exactly 400 years later. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is God's not going to catch us unaware. He shows us these things so that we are aware, we are awoken. How many know that not everybody that has asked Jesus in their heart is going to make the rapture? There were wise virgins and there were foolish virgins. The wise virgins kept their lamp lit, watching for the bridegroom to come. The other ones fell asleep. Amen? So God gives us these things so we can understand where we are in on God's calendar. So for 400 years, from 1517 to 1917, the Ottomans ruled all of Israel, what's known as Syria, Jordan, Iran, Iraq. It's the Ottoman Empire. The next part of the prophecy was, is that after the 400 years, after the eight jubilees, they would lose control over Israel. Israel would be put into someone else's hands except Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be no man's land. So in 1917, General Allenby from the English forces came in. They've overrun all of Israel except Jerusalem. He's looking into Jerusalem, and he sends a telegraph back to the King of England and said, I cannot in my heart fire one bullet into God's holy city. Amen. He got one word back from the King of England, pray. So General Allenby had everybody kneel and pray. And when they got up, they saw a white flag. The Ottomans surrendered Jerusalem and walked out exactly to the day in which this prophecy took place, some 600 years before. At that time, the Allied forces said, okay, here's the Syrian borders, here's the Transjordan borders, here's the Egyptian borders. There was no Arabian kingdom. It was all Jordan. The Turks. And they divided it all up. Here's Iran, here's Iraq, here's Israel. And so the Jews were allowed to live in Israel except Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, they named it exactly the way the prophecy came 600 years before. Jerusalem is, and this was legal, Jerusalem is no one's land. It's neutral. Now, Jesus talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. If you read, he said, woe unto you that are with child, because it's going to be, blood will be running in your streets. But in that prophecy, Jesus and Rabbi Judah ben Samuel said, it will be no man's land for one jubilee, 50 more years. Jesus prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem. That's when Rome was there. They destroyed the temple. But in that prophecy, he jumps ahead 2,000 years, and he says, until, concerning Jerusalem, until the day of the Gentile is over. The Gentile has run Jerusalem since the time of Jesus. Jerusalem has never been in the hands of the Jewish people since the Greeks came in. The Greeks lost it, then the Romans came in. Rabbi Judah ben Samuel said, Israel will be back in the hands of the Jewish people. They'll be allowed to live there except Jerusalem. Jesus, and he says, for 50 more years. Jesus says, until the day of the Gentile ruling Jerusalem is over. 1917, Israel was named, Palestine was named for the Jewish people, except Jerusalem. Exactly 50 years later, in 1967, the whole empire, the whole Arabian Empire came against little Jerusalem, and by a miracle of God, they defeated the massive Arab army and regained Jerusalem exactly the way the prophet said. Then he said, after Jerusalem, now listen to this, after Jerusalem is back in the hands of the Jewish people, the Temple Mount, the Via Dolorosa, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, everything is back in the hands of the Jewish people where all people could come freely and pray. He prophesied that one more Jubilee would prepare the time of the coming of the Messiah. He would give us 54 more years. So if you take 1967 and you add 50 years, what date do you get? No, 67. 67 and 50 years. 17, right? 2017, right. You got it? So during the time of 2014, 2015, we had a freak of nature take place. Does anybody remember what it was? Four blood moons. Every time the world saw the four blood moons, that these four fell on the high holidays, the world changed. 1492. Kind of a big change in the world. Amen? 1948, 49, 50. Israel became a nation. 1967. The Jews regained Jerusalem. 50 years from 1967 could be 2017. It could be 2015. Now, the Bible teaches us, or history teaches us, whenever these four blood moons take place, the world drastically changes for the kingdom of God. In 1492, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabel told the Jewish people, get out of Spain or convert to Christianity. Forced conversion, and they took all the Jews' property, all the Jews' money, killed thousands and thousands of Jews. We could go on. Every time it happens, the world changes. 1967 to 50 years later could be 2017. But many rabbinical scholars say when Jerusalem is in the hands of the Jews again, you go from a solar calendar to a lunar calendar. Instead of counting days by the sun, you count days by the moon. Now, what difference does that make? When you count days by the sun, there are 365 days in a year. When you count days by the moon, there's 360 days that happen in a year. So the Jubilee could be 2017, or the Jubilee could be 2015. But what happened at the time of the blood moons between 2015 and 2017, what happened? A miracle took place. President Trump was elected as President of the United States. Whether you like President Trump or you don't like President Trump, that's not the issue. The issue is President Trump made a stand for the nation of Israel and said, we are going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. Now, that law has been intact since the 90s, but no president had the courage to make that move. Now, I'm not going to get into all what's happening with there, but I was allowed to be in Jerusalem. I was asked by the Israeli government to come to Jerusalem to be part of the welcoming committee to welcome President Trump into Jerusalem. Before President Trump came to Israel, he stopped in Saudi Arabia and he met with all of the Arab nations that are willing to have peace. And when he met with them, he then came to Jerusalem and from there made the decision, we are going to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Everybody said, it's a bad idea. There'll be World War III. Nothing happened. Why? because he went and met with the Arabs and said, you know what? Israel is not your enemy. Iran is the crazy ones. Iran is the ones we need to watch at. And so whether you like President Trump or you don't like President Trump, that's not the issue. The issue is one jubilee after Jerusalem became the city in the hands of the Jews, right at the end of the four blood moons, something happened that has changed the world. And the world was changed when President Trump came in and said, we are standing with the nation of Israel. The reason why President Trump did that is because all of the evangelicals said, we want two things out of this. We want abortion stopped, and we want to stand with the nation of Israel, because God said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Somebody say amen. So the reason I'm bringing all these things up is we need to understand where we are in God's timetable. The thing that the thing that everybody said, here's what proves your Bible isn't true, is God said that Israel would once again become a nation. All the skeptics says that's impossible. It can never happen. Listen, it has never happened in the history of the entire world. Never has a country gone away, its people scattered to the four corners of the earth. They have no government. They have no language. They have no army. They have nothing. It's impossible that God would give them a land again and bring them back. But I declare to you, when God says it's going to happen, let all men be liars, but God is telling the truth. Can I have an amen? God said, when you see this miracle, And by the way, the Old Testament tells us, he said, this second Exodus, there'll come a time when people will say, will no longer remember Israel leaving Egypt. Everybody knows about Israel leaving Egypt. Everybody knows about it. We've all seen the Ten Commandments. We've all seen Charlton Heston smoke the waters. Everybody knows about Israel leaving Egypt. But you got to understand the miracle of this. When Israel left Egypt, all the Jews were in one place. They were only a couple days march away from Jerusalem. When God brought them out, they were all together. But God said there'll come a time that the second Exodus will make this pale in comparison. And not only will he bring the Jews from the four corners of the earth, he said, I'll add to the miracle. I'll cause the Gentiles to bring them in. I'll have the Gentiles lift them in their arms and put them on their shoulders and bring them back. And you and I are doing exactly what the prophet Isaiah said would happen. It's a miracle. Do you understand this? These things are gaining momentum. I mean, it's getting faster and faster and faster. The reason why that's so important is for you and I to understand. When the rapture does take place, I don't know when it's going to take place, but let's say it doesn't happen for a year. Let's say it happens tomorrow. How many are ready? You got to be on fire. You got to be serving God. But let's say it doesn't happen for a year. Then you and I need to get ready for the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the outpouring and the gifts of the Spirit, of prophets and prophetesses, of people laying hands on the sick, gifts of miracles, gifts of healing. We need to get ready, because God said, just like he said, I would bring Israel back to their own land. People said it can happen. God said it would, and it did. It's amazing. God said in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit. Listen, I thank God. I thank God for what God's done. I thank God for the things I've seen God do. But I'm ready for the outpouring of signs and wonders and miracles on my life and on this church. Can I have an amen? Look where we are. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. We've gone through Rosh Hashanah. We've gone through Yom Kippur. You know, I have a question and I can't get a good answer to it. From the time of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, that's the time we fast. That's the time we say, God, you know, let me be worthy of this next year's blessing. God, make, you know, tell me, am I doing anything wrong? Is there something you want me to do? And we go from the time of fasting and self-searching. Then we go into the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, the wedding supper of the Lamb. And a question that I've always had is, why is there 4 days in between? From the time of Yom Kippur to the time of this great celebration. This is when they, and we'll do the whole next Sunday morning at the 9:30 service, we'll do the whole Feast of Tabernacles worship. We'll do the whole thing. But why is there 4 days? This is the time that God said, you will be full of joy. He's not saying, you know, like you say to your kids, you will clean your room. No, he's saying, you will be full of joy. This is when they would sing by the hundreds of thousands. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice because it's going to be so wonderful. And so my question has been, and I haven't found a good answer yet. In all my research, in my study, I haven't found a good answer. Why from the Day of Atonement where we say, God, is there anything wrong? And we're fasting to the time of great joy. Why 4 days? The only thing I can find is that God wanted to give us time from repenting and fasting to catching our breath. Because once the Feast of Tabernacles begins, it's so amazing that if he did it right after, you couldn't handle it. So I'm ready for God to bring such blessing, I can't handle it anymore. Amen. But one of the things that I want you to see, and I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, I'm just saying maybe. Scotty, do we have a picture of the Pilgrim's Road? This road is actually... You see the archway over it where they're doing the excavating. This road here is actually three times as wide. I think it's, you know, I just had the guy who's over that send me an email, and I wasn't planning on teaching this today. It just came to me while I was sitting there. I think it's 45 feet wide and 800 meters long. It is the Pilgrim's Road from the Pool of Siloam all the way up to the temple. It is without a doubt 100% where what we celebrate next Sunday, the Feast of Tabernacles, it is the road that they marched. As they walked up celebrating, waving the palms and shouting, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. And this is the Jewish, Orthodox Jewish people over said, without a doubt, this is where Jesus walked. Without a shadow of a doubt. And as I was sitting there and we were worshiping, and there's something in the song that made me want to talk about the prophecies, the signs that God has given us. It hit me. Why are we just discovering this right now? This is the road. Without a shadow of a doubt, those stones right there have not been walked on for 2,000 years. They found the pomegranate bell that would have been on the hem of the high priest. There it is right there. That the high priest would have walked up from the, and we'll teach this, the water celebration. They say, if you've never seen this, you've never seen true joy and beauty. They found the coins, a whole stack of coins that were minted right before the destruction of the temple where the money changers would, I mean, they found piles of it. Why are they, and I'm not saying this is the reason, but let them who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Why are we seeing this right now? Could it be it is preparation for the coming of the Messiah, that not long from now we will hear the sound of the trumpet and we will walk up this very road with Jesus once again that he walked on? And he said, how many times did he say, I'm going to build a mansion in my Father's house? If it weren't so, I wouldn't say it. If it wasn't so, that he was coming back. If it wasn't so, that he would show us signs and wonders, shouting that he's on his way. He would have never said it. I believe this road, when I stand on there and I realize this is the road on the Feast of Tabernacles that everyone is coming to celebrate, God tabernacling with his people once again. I believe this is a sign to us that get ready. We are not long from walking this road right behind the coming of the Messiah. How many can say amen? He may come tomorrow. But if he doesn't come for a year, I claim for all of us, this next year is going to be an absolutely amazing year. An amazing year. A year of miracles and healings. A time of great prosperity. A time of great joy. A time of great salvation. A time that is exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think. Because everything I read is when the Lord comes back, he's coming back for a beautiful bride. Without spot, without blemish. He's coming back for a bride that is manifesting the power of God here on earth. Why? Why would God do that? Because he wants everybody. Listen, we're not going to save the world will not be saved by another Christian television program or another church on another corner. It won't happen. The way the world will be saved is that the world begins to hear of signs and wonders and miracles. I believe in all my heart, you know, Brother Joseph from Jerusalem, when he heard about Tiz and what she's going through, and he sent me three prophetic words. The first one was, every person in the world needs to serve Jesus. But sometimes those who are going to do something special, God allows them to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because when you get the end of it, you can tell people about the power of his resurrection. So many people have said this, and I believe it. So many people have said this, and I believe it. When we celebrated Lion's first birthday in the hospital. When there was not much hope. And then they came back and said, wow, he doesn't have that gene. And he has a gene. And we've called around the world that we've never seen in a child. It takes him from no chance to... It took him from no chance to no stopping. Amen. Amen. Now, those of you who have walked this journey with us know this is a miracle. Yes. They gave Tiz this no chance for survival. It's in her DNA. Then they came back and said, well, wait. It's not in her DNA. Well, we better check further because we're sure it is. And they came back and said, not only is that not in your DNA, there's 47 other ones and none of those are in your DNA. You know what that is? That's breaking family curses. You understand? So there's no one, whether it's in your life group or you're at work or you're at school or we're in church, there's no one that comes to me and says, I have cancer, I have this, I have that. And we can't say, let's pray. Yeah. Because it's one thing, and it's the main thing to say, well, you know, God's word says. You know, and can I be real honest with you? It's one thing to say, when I'm praying for you, well, God's word says, by his stripes, you're already healed. Well, you're already healed. But it's another thing when you're facing that. Can I be honest with you? It's another thing when you're facing that. You know what helped us with facing this with Tiz? Well, if God did it for Lion, he can do it for Tiz. And if God did it for Lion, he'd do it for Tiz. He can do it for you. And if God did it for Lion and Tiz and you, he can do it for the person you're praying for and the next person. This is why this house, as Wanderson says all the time, this house needs to be a house of miracles. This is why we can pray for somebody and say, well, my son's a drug addict. Let me pray for it, because so was I. And who the son sets free is free indeed. Well, the doctors say this, and you know what? We love doctors, and doctors or nurses are a gift from heaven. But let's come in agreement with doctors and nurses to add God's part to it. Can I be real honest with you? Somebody comes up to me and says, you know, Pastor, would you pray? I lost my job. There's a zillion jobs out there. I lost all my investment. Money's like dust. It's easy to believe God. Those are easy things. Yeah. Amen? Amen. You can accidentally make money. Even unsaved people can make money. Amen? Do you understand? There's a lot of rich people that don't have God helping them. They just know how to make money. But there's a wealth that comes from the Lord and brings no sorrow with it. I believe in all my heart God will use this, is using the story of Lion and Tiz and other stories that we've seen around here as testimonies. God is no respecter of persons. God wants to use your case, your situation, as a testimony that God is no respecter of persons. Next week, we have the feast, the sealing of the Feast of Tabernacles. Yeah. Let me just throw one more thing. I didn't even get on my notes, did I? Today is Lion's birthday. 2 years ago, Lion was born on the eve of Shabbat and what's the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, called Simchat Torah. Simchat Torah means the joy of God's word. Lion went through unbelievable stuff. Just break your heart. Just break your heart, because we couldn't say to him, listen, this will be over, this and that. He don't know why mom and dad and three other nurses are holding him down where they're shoving poison in his mouth and sticking things in his heart. He couldn't understand that. Watched him blow up like a balloon from all the medicines and all of his hair fall out. But you know what? The whole time he went through it, he was laughing. I'm not joking. He would laugh and have such joy because he was born in an appointed time. The time of the joy of God's word. Right now, you and I are in an appointed time. In Malachi, God says, return unto me and I'll return to you. And they said, how do we return? He said, your tithes, your offerings are three times a year. You come before the Lord and you don't come empty. When they, you know, in the church world, you go, oh, I got to pull an offering. Got to pull it out of your hands. I've been in the ministry for 45 years now. I don't need to pull an offering. I just teach you what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says when we come before the Lord on Passover, on Pentecost, on the Feast of Tabernacles, we come before the Lord with an offering. Next Sunday we'll receive the first fruits, but next Sunday we'll go through the whole ceremony. It will have the stage and everything all decorated. It's an amazing time. And they're coming with the Lord, and they're coming with their offering. They're not going, how much is a tenth of $1.20? Is it $1.12, or can I get away with $1 dime? They're bringing their offering, singing, "This is the day." That's where it comes from. God loves a cheerful giver. That's where it comes from. On Passover, three times a year you come before the Lord and you don't come empty-handed. On Passover, on Pentecost, on Feast of Tabernacles. on Passover, about a third of the Jews showed up. Now, everybody bought their Passover offering, but they sent somebody with their Passover offering. On Shavuot, on Pentecost, about a third of the Jews in the world showed up. They all got an offering in because they're required by God. But they would send somebody. Many of the very busy, wealthy people would send somebody with their offering. Make sure it got there, but they were too busy. The reason they were too busy, ancient Jewish wisdom teaches, because the blessing that comes on the Feast of Tabernacle is what blesses their business, that they're so busy they got to send. Wouldn't it be nice that you're so blessed you got to have somebody help you carry in your offering? I mean, sure, I'm ready for that. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that. So they would, nobody would send somebody. They would come. And so from the temple offering down to the Pool of Siloam, there by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them singing, "This is the day," probably not in that tune, "This is the day that the Lord has made." This is that time. Just like Lion, in all that he went through, always had that joy. We were just amazed because he was born on God's appointed time. God's appointed time for us right now, between now and next Sunday, the window is wide open. Do you understand? The window from God's throne to us is wide open. And I'm telling you, I declare no limit on what God is going to do in your life, in my life, this whole next year. How many receive that? Say amen. Would you stand up and give the Lord a great big clap offering? Somebody say out loud, "No limit."
No limit.
Say it out loud, "No limit."
No limit.
Now, I want you to think about this as we get ready to close in prayer. What do you need the Lord to do for you next year? What do you need the Lord to do? Your job, your business, your home, your family. On Passover, there's a certain blessing. There's three blessings on the offering of Passover. On Shavuot, Pentecost, there's a certain blessing. But on the Feast of Tabernacles, there's unlimited blessing. This one covers everything. As a matter of fact, this blessing brings the early and the latter rain. Why the early and the latter rain? Because there's been a drought. We've been in Israel when this has happened during the feast. We're trying to decide when we ought to do the next trip to Israel. And I battle back and forth on, you know, because springtime's a little easier and everything. But man, I'm telling you, to be in Israel during the Feast of Tabernacles is something pretty special. We were down in by the Sea of Galilee, and everything's a dust bowl. For 8 months, it's been a dust bowl. We're riding up on the bus into Jerusalem, heading in there, preparing for the Sabbath. And this mist began to rain. We saw it on a vision. Then there was a double rainbow over the old city, over the Temple Mount. We got off and we began to sing and worship God and praise God. And the people in Israel, the guys bringing in our bags, they were just so excited because to them it was a sign from God. Why the early rain? The early rain cements the seed. It makes the seed take root. And then the latter rain, if the rain came in too heavy, it'd wash the seed away. But it would cement the seed. Once that seed is cemented, then God would send the latter rain. And that abundant rain would bring an abundant harvest. I claim for all of us this next year, an abundant harvest in every area. Do you receive that? Do you receive that? Guys, God wants to make us, you and I, and our family on stream, God wants to make you an example of how wonderful our God is. So that your friends and your family will say to you, "Why are you so blessed?" And you can say, number one, because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And number two, God promised in his word concerning Israel, "I will bless those who bless you." I'm ready for the greatest blessing I've ever experienced so far. Lift up your hands. Father, we receive according to your word the expectation that this next year, Lord, we're ready right now. If you want to come in December or January or February, we're ready. But if you give us another year, we know that this year is going to be a year full of miracles, full of blessing, full of prosperity. We claim divine long life. We claim divine health. We claim divine joy. We claim divine prosperity. We claim divine victory in every area of our lives. Miracles on our homes, our families, our marriages, our jobs, our businesses, our investments, in every area. And we will be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people shouted, amen. Do you receive that? Amen. God bless. We're going to have a great second service. Love somebody as you go. Amen.